You just heard a series of the blowing of the shofar. In ancient times of Israel, there would be those times where they blew trumpets and the shofars. Today is the Feast of Trumpets, we call it. It is a memorial of blowing of the trumpets to announce something that is going to happen, something that has not yet happened. I want you to turn back to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. I hope you can stay with this today. I'm going to move at a pace. You can always go back and pull the sermon link up and listen to it again because I'm going to cover quite a bit of ground today. Verse 23. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." That was the original giving of what we call the Feast of Trumpets. You do not see in Scripture of itself the words, the Feast of Trumpets. You see a memorial of blowing of trumpets. And I'm going to hopefully, and you can follow along and make sure that I stay with Scripture, because I'm going to, as much as I can, by His direction, stay with His Word today and allow His Word to speak. I'm going to prophesy today, because actually the word prophesy just means to be inspired. And I can tell you I'm inspired on this day. And more than ever inspired about what this day is going to one day bring about. Because this day, this what we call the Feast of Trumpets, is not just about one day. It's about a time frame that is going to happen when a series of trumpet blasts will sound. And I'm going to talk about those things today. Trumpets will sound and things will happen. These things have not yet happened. We keep a day today, that day that we call the Feast of Trumpets, again from Scripture, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. We keep a day that is very much futuristic. It has its fulfillment in times yet to come. And all of these things I'm going to bring out today. And we just read here, when ancient Israel was commanded to keep what? This day. As an annual observance. It was, as I brought out Sabbath, it was to them, but for us. And we now, in this age of 2024, we are the ones that are very close to one day. And some in this room, and some who will hear the message later, those who are younger, will very likely that generation see these things happen. Your title today, Trumpets, the Day of God's Anger. And that's what I'm going to speak about. Right now, each and every one of us as the saints of God, we are now, are we not, trying to court God's grace and favor. And we want to abide in His love, do we not? But this day, this time frame that will come, will be a time when God's anger will be poured out in the most catastrophic manner that He has ever yet punished unrepentant mankind. When a series of trumpet blasts will sound, with each one producing catastrophic conditions and circumstances and much death. I had you there in Leviticus 23. That is the foundation of it. But when you actually look at those two or three verses, and you could go to Numbers 29, verse 1, and beyond that, what we call the Feast of Trumpets, and what Scripture says, the memorial of blowing of trumpets, is shrouded in mystery, except for those that God has opened their minds. From the Bible, as you study God's Word, as you come to know God, as I spoke of this past Sabbath, from those things in Deuteronomy, to have a heart to obey God and to love God, for those who do that, we abide in His love. And we always want to be sure that His love is providing that covering for us, a covering for each one of us. This day, I've often said in my lifetime, going all the way back for decades, I've often said that the Feast of Trumpets, as we call it, is a hinge holy day. It actually sets up the coming time of atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. Because this day, this time, pictures when God will first bring judgments on the world. And then eventually, He will relent from His anger after this time frame will pass. So this day is all about the future, and a future that most are not going to want to see, as I will get into these things today. You can jot down Hebrews 10. You can turn there if you want to, but Hebrews 10, verse 30 and 31. Hebrews 10, verse 30 and 31. For we know Him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." And again, the Lord will judge His people. But it's that verse 31 that we never, ever need to forget. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It is a fearful thing to be judged by God. I'm reminded of a man named Jonathan Edwards, and those of you who are somewhat historians, and you know quite a bit about the early colonial times in this nation, Jonathan Edwards was a famous colonial preacher. He gave a sermon in 1741. A sermon that I've gone and read the transcript from. You can find it on the internet. And I've gone there and read much of the transcript from that sermon. And the sermon has become a famous sermon from that time forward. And it's entitled, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." And that is what this time coming pictures. This time we keep today, this Feast of Trumpets, portends and shows that a time will come when God will pour the greatest judgments out upon unrepentant flesh. And I'm going to get into those things as I go into the sermon. Right now, this day is, you might say, a sealed prophecy. It very much is, because it has not yet come to pass. And there is much yet. There is much yet to lead up to it happening. I want you to turn to the book of Joel. As I get into this, as I go deeper into the subject, the book of Joel. They call this again one of the minor prophets. And I say, whoever dubbed them the minor prophets doesn't do it justice. These small little prophetic books, which are 12 total, give us so much. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Joel 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. That is talking specifically about the coming beast power. And with all this going on in the Middle East right now, that beast power has not yet set up in Jerusalem. And there is no mark of the beast yet because the beast hasn't shown up. And when the beast shows up, those who receive the mark of the beast will incur the judgments of God to come that this day pictures. Heavy on prophecy today. I didn't come today to tell you how bad you are and how big sinners you are. I come today to proclaim prophetic things, because this day is a complete capsule of things to come, a sealed prophecy that has not yet happened. You can jot down Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 2 and 3. Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 2 and 3. Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord, God, woe to the day, for the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds. And then the latter part of that verse identifies the time of the Gentiles. What I just read in Joel, a time when the abomination of desolation will be set up around Jerusalem for 3.5 years, which represents the beast's power and the false prophet. Also, Isaiah 34:8. Isaiah chapter 34, 8. And again, you can go back later and play the link if you miss something in the sermon because I'm moving at a certain pace. But Isaiah 34:8, for it is the day of the Lord, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. What do you think that means? A day, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. God is punishing that last year of the 3.5 years, that last year of that 3.5 year period of time called the day of the Lord. God is bringing recompense and punishing and exacting payment for the beast power that has decimated the sons of Jacob and who have martyred the saints for 2.5 years. These things, brethren, are so clear from Scripture. And we haven't even begun to see those times yet. And we don't know how far off they are, but they will happen. Flip back to Daniel 12. Daniel 12. Verse 11. Building this foundation from Scripture, His Word. Prophesying from His Word. Verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. We have the actual time frame given, and we see here that that is given. Simple math says the beast power sets up and reigns for 3.5 years. That first 2.5 years of that reign, the first 2.5 years of that reign is the time of the great tribulation, is the time that the sons of modern Jacob are scattered among the nations and go into captivity. It's also that first 2.5 years of that time when the beast power is martyring the saints of God. That is all happening in that first 2.5 years of that total 3.5. But that last year of the 3.5 is the actual day of the Lord, when God will now pour His vengeance out on all those who have decimated His people, both physical Israel and spiritual Israel, the saints of God. These things are very clear and very mathematically sure. I'm dressed again by design in black today. And I have been doing this for the last number of trumpets, and I will continue to, because this day pictures again a time of darkness and gloominess when it happens. I want you to turn to Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah. Back to the minor prophets. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14. Zephaniah, chapter 1, verse 14. And it's just past Habakkuk. And if you don't know where Habakkuk is, don't know where Haggai sandwiched in between, you're lost. Zephaniah 1, verse 14. No better description in the Bible than the day of the Lord coming right here. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath. His wrath, I might add. A day of trouble and distress. A day of devastation and desolation. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of trumpet and alarm, and against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I, who is I? I, God, will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. Who is the one that will judge the world? It is the one whom all judgment has committed into his hands, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who will bring judgment, because all judgment has been given into his hands to execute. And we don't never need to forget that. Look at chapter 2 of Zephaniah. Chapter 2. All of this is in relation to times yet to come. Times where God, for 1 year, in that last year of the 3.5 year period of time, will begin to pour out these severe judgments on unrepentant flesh who have received the mark, who are all part of that beast power, and he will pour out his judgments on them because they have so slaughtered and decimated his people, from the physical sons of modern Jacob as they have been cast into captivity to all those saints that will be martyred. Chapter 2 of Zephaniah, verse 1. Gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued. Before that day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, behold, the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord. Brethren, verse 3 should spiritually resonate with us now. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness and seek humility. It may be that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. This is strictly prophetic of a time yet to come, but you don't wait till the storm hits to make preparations, right? You make preparations before the storm comes. And that's what, even back then, they, thousands of years ago, Zephaniah and all the other prophets of God, they were told this is going to happen. But we're now thousands of years past when they were told. But just how much closer are we? Nuclear capacity alone. The ability to take out electrical grids alone can devastate humanity. How many ways can we kill ourselves? Can I say it that plain? Humanity had never been to this point before. Chilling prophecies, is it not? I feel personally, and I've been sharing this lately with some of you, I personally believe that each day, each week, each month now, as we look around and see the evil and the wickedness around this world, and we see the evil and the wickedness that abounds in this modern day house of Jacob, the more I see it, the more I am personally convinced that God's anger is being roused more and more. And he will punish the modern day sons of Jacob in what's called the Great Tribulation. And he will punish them with vengeance for their disobedience and their sins and their abominations. And that time frame may not be that far off. And we were told in Zephaniah, whether it was then or now, that we seek the Lord while he may be found. That we may be what? Hidden in that time of trouble and anger of his to come. When Jonathan Edwards gave that sermon in 1741, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, that's where I feel more and more we are becoming in this world now, in this nation. Sinners in the hands of an angry God, and a God who is going to one day punish with a vengeance and a fury. And these are the things I'm talking about today. I want you to go over to Revelation 6 now. We will spend much of our time here in Revelation now. And some of you says, goody, goody. You don't want to see the times of Revelation come. I've had people say, and I've heard people say in my lifetime sometimes, you know, I want to see these things kind of happen. No, you don't. No, you don't. Revelation 6, drop down to verse 9. This is the fifth seal. This is the fifth seal. This is the time of the 2.5 years of great tribulation. So I have put you into the time frame that one day is coming. The great tribulation has started, and it will last 2.5 years. And you find here in verse 9 of Revelation 6, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true? Until what? Until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth. The scripture from Isaiah 34:8. How long until you recompense us? How long until you give us justice as they have been martyred? And we see verse 11. And a white robe was given to each of them, which stands for righteousness. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Chilling times. Chilling times. And this is a time that will encompass 2.5 years of the first 2.5 years of the 3.5. And God has allowed and is the one who has allowed the beast's power as an instrument in his hand, and Satan also as an instrument to punish the disobedient sons of Jacob for 2.5 years. Brethren, do we get that? They become instruments in God's hand. They can do nothing unless God allows them. Satan could have done nothing with Job unless God had allowed it. You read in Scripture about how Nebuchadnezzar was my servant. God says, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. And he was used by God as his servant to punish the house of Judah for their sins. Again, many times, God will give sometimes a wicked ruler as a punishment for a nation. We're talking today, this day is about judgments. When we keep the Day of Atonement next, that's a beautiful time because Christ has come and begins to establish national and international atonement with the remnants that's left from the nations from all this Holocaust that I speak of today. Holocaust comes first, and then Christ at atonement begins to what? And I will speak about that, hopefully God willing, in Marianna, Georgia, on atonement. Atonement is a good day. And oh, then we get to the Feast of Tabernacles, the kingdom has come, and we get to the eighth day. But this day, first comes judgment, and then comes God's love after his anger has been requited, has now melted away. But we see here in Revelation 6, we see here how God tells all those suffering through the great tribulation, just wait. My justice is coming. And that's what we do see again with what's called the day of the Lord. You're there in chapter 6 of Revelation. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, I'm walking us through what's leading up to the day of the Lord. I am walking through His word, laying the groundwork to set up what this day, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, is speaking of. You see in chapter 6, verse 12, subheading, the sixth seal is opened. The sixth seal. My Bible says cosmic disturbances. Look, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became black blood. And there's your true blood moons. The true blood moons of this prophecy has not happened. And when the true blood moons that he speaks of does happen, men will seek to hide their eyes from it. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Mighty things are happening. These are supernatural things that are happening. The God of heaven is now about to do something. And he's revealing himself here when the sixth seal is open. He is revealing himself to the inhabitants of the earth at this time. Verse 14, the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. We are seeing great disturbances, right? And the kings, notice this, the kings of the earth, and that means also at that time the beast power and the false prophet, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, that's everybody, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath. Notice that, the anger of who? The Lamb. That is Jesus Christ. For the great day of his wrath or anger has come. And who is able to stand? The sixth seal is about to open the time frame of the day of the Lord, which will be 1 year in duration. And then you look, simply letting Scripture answer itself. Chapter 7, verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was what? Granted to harm the earth and the sea, because great devastation is about to happen, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, to what? Till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, and 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. And he goes through and gives them. Let Scripture speak. You see the sealing of the 144,000. And also God is doing something else. He is sealing those who are his, because he's about to pour out through a series of trumpet blast plagues on the unrepentant. All those who are his will not receive these judgments. I want to so much clarify that as I move through this subject matter and bring these things out. He is about to pour out anger in a way that flesh has never seen before. Daniel 12:1, just referencing. A time never like it before or ever shall be again, just as the 2.5 years of tribulation has never been a time like it, never will be again, and certainly that last year of the 3.5 called the day of the Lord, as he pours out a series of trumpet blast plagues, nothing like this he has ever done. The plagues he poured out on Egypt are minuscule compared to what he's about to do, because the world now is dealing with an angry God. And as I said, I believe that God of heaven right now that his anger is becoming more and more roused against what he is seeing, and especially what he is seeing in the nations of Jacob, especially America and England, that he set aside as the birthright brothers, nations, empires, to be a light to the world, and they have failed. All right, we're there at chapter 8. All right, chapter 8, 1, verse 1. It's about to happen. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So, brethren, this is a scripture that we reference to at times. This is where our prayers go. See, we're told conclusively here, when you pray, your prayers go right to the altar, right to them. Where's the mercy seat? It's there with them. In fact, they are the embodiment of mercy. The Father and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the mediator, they are the embodiment of mercy and love. And so our prayers go there. And we need to have faith always that those prayers are being heard, even sometimes when we don't feel like we're getting an answer. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it into the earth. And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. So it's about to happen. The day of the Lord is about to start. And of course then, if you're there, I won't go through all these for the sake of time. But you see, verse 7, the first angel sounded. I think my subheading says enough without going into detail that I don't have time to do. My subheading says, vegetation struck. In other words, the environment. God touches and strikes the environment. As you go through these trumpet blasts, they rise in intensity and proportion to his anger being poured out. Verse 8, the second angel sounded, and you see the seas that are struck, and you see a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. You see what? Great damage, but not total damage yet. You see great damage. God is trying even then to get their attention. Verse 10. The third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water, and the name of the star is Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. What are you seeing? God is pouring these judgments out again on the unrepentant, all those who have received the mark of the beast, all those on earth at that time who remain, because keep in mind, as he continues to pour judgments out, more people die each time. So that by the time you get to the totality of the very end, when God has exhausted all of his anger, only a remnant of humanity will be left. I don't know that I've ever walked through a Feast of Trumpets sermon quite this way, but I'm doing it because this day points us to a future time when God's judgment is poured out in fury upon, again, all those who won't repent. Verse 12. The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened, and a third of the day and night did not shine, and likewise the night. Verse 13, I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, notice this, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. So we see clearly, right? Four have sounded, and yet three more are yet to sound. These are all happening over time. Not in one day, but over the space of time. And again, the day of the Lord in its total time frame will last 1 year. These things are very clear from Scripture. Very clear. But this angel is about to announce three woes. If you know the book of Revelation well enough to know, now we're about to have three woes poured out. Because the fifth and the sixth and the seventh trumpet blast are called the three woes. Chapter 9, verse 1. I'm not going to go through all this. My subheading in my Bible says the locust from the bottomless pit. We see right now, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Well, that's pretty clear to understand who that's speaking of. That's the devil, and it's speaking of his fall and that pit. And you go through, and it says, verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Out of that smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Look at verse 4. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing or any tree, but only who? Those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Only the unrepentant. And they were what? Also, verse 5. They were given authority to kill. They were not given authority to kill them, but what? To torment them for 5 months. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And it says, verse 6, in those days men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Tormented for 5 months without dying. The environment's not hurt. It's obvious what's going on here. This demonic horde in Satan, this torment. That's the first woe. Chapter 9, verse 13. The sixth trumpet, the angels from the Euphrates, is it my subheading. You have this described 200-man army. That much has been written and talked about over millennia of time. The only thing I'm going to do is point out in verse 15, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month, notice that. Those angels who had been prepared for that hour and day and month and year, the day of the Lord, and were released to what? To kill a third of mankind. Now you see what's left of humanity, that a third of them are killed. We are seeing this great, great carnage happening and destruction. And it's all coming from God through Jesus Christ, whom he rendered all judgment into his hands, as we saw minutes ago, in the hands of the Lamb of God, the one who Revelation 19 talks about that I won't go to today, the one in Revelation 19 that will mount his white charger one day and ride when the Father says, my son, it's time to mount the white horse and ride. And that's in chapter 19. We've seen now six trumpet blast plagues. We've seen each one introduced with a blast of a trumpet. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. I was here, there, and different places putting this message together on the internet, checking this out, checking that out, going back through these things again. Most theologians, scholars worth their salt, so to speak, they understand that the Feast of Trumpets, as we call it, is a time of God's anger and judgment. And they understand, most of them do. that it all occurs during what's called the time frame of the day of the Lord. A 1 year duration of time, because all these things don't happen in one day. God gives ample time for repentance. And I'm convinced, as we've read through the seven trumpet blast plagues, that God will give the space for repentance, but they won't repent. Some will at the end. Did Pharaoh ever repent through the 10 plagues poured out on him? No. I don't know anyone in Egypt that did. Get back to my, because I want to take this in a very systematic way of presenting these things. Again, the fifth trumpet blast is the first woe. The sixth trumpet blast is the second woe. And then we're coming to the third woe that was mentioned, that was proclaimed by the angel. The third woe that is coming. I want you to go to chapter 11. Chapter 11. By the way, nothing sells like prophecy. I'll say it this way, Gary Beam way of saying it. Sermons that go to prophecy and talk about prophecy are the biggest sellers on the market. Because everybody wants to know what they don't know, or what they think they know, or what they don't know. Give a sermon on repentance, it seems so few want to listen. I've often said, if I put out flyers next week, and I put out flyers all over Huntsville that Gary Beam's got this room rented, and I'm going to reveal the identity of the two witnesses, I probably couldn't fit them into the building. But if I said, come to my seminar and I will show you what God says about how to change your life, repent, I'll have plenty of seats. Revelation 11. Dropping right into verse 11. The two witnesses have been preaching for 1260 days in Jerusalem. And we drop right into verse 11. Their witnessing has ended. They have been martyred. And verse 11, after 3.5 days, the breath of life entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who had killed them. And you can read the whole chapter. They're going to have been making parting, because they have finally killed these two witnesses, these two that have tormented them for 1260 days. And in verse 12, they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to the heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. They see them, just like Elijah was taken up into the clouds. Just like Acts chapter 1, when they saw Christ go up into the clouds as he left. They see the same thing here. They see them ascending up to the clouds. And verse 13, notice, in the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. And in the earthquake, 7,000 men, notice this, was killed. And the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. So you see here, evidently, some who repent. You see evidently some who repent. And it says, verse 14, the second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. It's coming very quickly, very soon. And then you read verse 15. The seventh angel sounded. That's the seventh trumpet, as we call it. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And it's all over. Is it? Sometimes we fail to read farther in Scripture. And I want to do that right now. Let's go on and read in verse 16. The 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time, notice, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants and prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. You see what? You see the saints, who, of course, we have been raised at the seventh trumpet, and we are going to receive our reward. And you see, though God, though, still rewarding the wicked with greater judgments about to come. And you see it here in verse 19. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings and noises and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. So when that seventh trumpet is sounded, also these things are also occurring. But there is yet things to come, brethren. And that's what I want to talk about now. Chapter 15, if you'll go there. Chapter 15, go with me. You're talking about a sequence of time. And the scripture answers itself. You see a sequence of time still unfolding, because there are about to be seven final judgments poured out. Seven bowl judgments, they're called. Seven last plagues, they're called. You were to open chapter 15 and read the first four verses, you see a heavenly scene of the saints standing on the sea of glass. Then you come down to verse 5. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. We saw that same thing, chapter 11. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls, full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of the Lord and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Now the seventh trumpet has also released seven last plagues that are about to be poured out, and the absolute totality of his anger is now going to be fulfilled. Verse 1 of chapter 16. I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. Trumpets, the day of God's anger. Because now God is going to pour out his final judgments. The whole time frame of the day of the Lord, from the day one to the end of the year, the whole year of the day of the Lord, the whole time frame, are about judgments being poured out. And the intensity rises and rises and rises as his anger mounts. If you were to read Leviticus 26 again, what does it say in Leviticus 26? What does he say? He says, I will punish you seven times more if you don't obey and repent. The 777 of Revelation just continues to grow in their intensity. Seven seals, seven trumpet blast plagues, seven last plagues. With us coming now to these seven last plagues, and just look at the verse 2. So the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. You see what? Does that remind you of one of the plagues of Egypt? The boils and all? You look at verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as of a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. See, now every creature dies in the sea. Verse 4. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. He is bringing ultimate recompense, payment for what they have done. Remember those saints who were martyred in chapter 6, we read about, "How long, O Lord, until you avenge us?" And he said, "Wait a little longer," and now it's happening. Except it is total devastation. It is total devastation. And I heard verse 7, another from the altar saying, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has power over these plagues. Tells us exactly, I am the author, God says. I am the author who is pouring these things out on you. And they did not notice this. They did not repent and give him glory. It's always blown my mind, so to speak, how God, when that time happens, they have witnessed seven trumpet blasts. Now he's pouring out the worst of plagues with these seven last plagues. An unrepentant flesh will not repent. Why? Because the remnants left have become that hard of heart. They have become that much God haters. You see, ultimately God's going to punish unrepentant flesh and the beast's power and all those who do to the sons of Jacob and his people, spiritual Israel. He's going to do it because ultimately they hated God. My mind can't comprehend how people can hate God in his ways, but there are those who do. Verse 10 of chapter 16, the fifth bowl. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. Notice that. On the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Identifies that the beast's power and the false prophet will. They will not repent still. And he's now pouring out the worst of the judgments. It just absolutely is incredible. This is all part of that third woe, the worst woe of the three, the final woe that is happening. Verse 12, the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared, because they're getting ready to battle Jesus Christ. And it's very plain from Scripture here. Verse 13, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon. And that is referring to the beast, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet. Can we see how clear this is? Who has been the power behind the beast's power for 3.5 years? Satan the devil. And no doubt some of his powerful princes. And I mean that in the evil sense. You see here that this last plagues that are being poured out by God is beginning now. Can I say it plainly? It's gotten the full attention of the beast power now. And then you see verse 14 identifies these spirits, for they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of that great day of God Almighty. And then Christ puts that little insertion here. He tells the church, the saints, and us today more than any saints of any age, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. There's a lot could be said about that scripture and his words. Be ready. Be prepared. Remember Zephaniah said, chapter 2, that you may be hidden in that day. In other words, that you may be protected, preserved, sealed. And then you see in verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. As they are about to battle Jesus Christ himself. And you find that in chapter 19 of Revelation when he comes on his white horse, and I won't go there. And you also find in Revelation 19, the saints are with him. So I won't go there. Chapter 17, verse 17, the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple, that last plague poured out from the throne, saying, "It is done. It is finished." God's anger has now been requited, has cooled. His anger now has been vented. Verse 18, there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. And now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierceness, of his wrath. In other words, payment, just recompense, as Isaiah 34:8 said, for Zion's cause, just payment for your butchery and your cruelty for 3.5 years to the sons of Jacob and to the church and all the saints that will be martyred under their reign of 3.5 years. And you see verse 20, every island fled away and the mountains were not found, and great hail fell from heaven upon men, every hailstone about the weight of a talent. And look again, men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceedingly great. And they still, in their hardened hearts, would not repent. The world at that time, those who have survived up to that point, the remnants of humanity, the unrepentant remnant, well, by that time, like Pharaoh, will have become so hardened of heart that they will not repent. And then we know the rest of the story. We know that Christ conquers and puts down all who oppose him. And we, with him, the saints, will begin to rule in that kingdom that's coming, and will begin to rule forever and ever. I want you to turn, as I finish, I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. As I wrap this message today, I've given many funeral messages over the years and celebrations of life and memorial services, and how many times I've read these verses here at a service for a saint of God that has died, how many times I've gone back and looked at these words. Paul says, starting in verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, starting in verse 13, Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." That's very clear. Those who are dead, the saints, those who are dead will rise first, and those who are living will just almost instantaneously right after follow them as we are resurrected. Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord," verse 16, "himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God," that is the seventh trumpet, "and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." There is a lot of discussion ongoing, always has been, is right now, always probably will be until we're given more clarity, about when the seventh trumpet sounds, okay, and we've just read about seven more plagues that will be poured out. Questions are asked about the wedding supper, the saints, those things. I leave you today in your minds and hearts with this. If you are resurrected whenever that seventh trumpet sounds, we know that for a fact, that we are resurrected at the seventh trumpet. And whenever that seventh trumpet does sound, if you are one of the chosen to be raised with Christ to meet him, your worries are over. All you'll have to concern yourself is go where he goes from that point on. Oh, let me say something real quickly. This will be our last Sabbath here until after the feast. And Ron and I do plan.